And so I trust that as we look into God's Word together, we can learn. It has been good for me as I studied and prepared, as I looked at these different topics and subjects. And I trust as we do that further, it will speak to our hearts. I invite you to turn with me to Romans this evening. Our title comes out of Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. Are we better than they? And I was talking to one brother this evening, and he said, well, who's the we and who's the they? He said, first off, we have to get that straight, he said. And so I wasn't sure if it was the Beaches and the Pilgrims. Well, if it was the ministers and the laity, I'll let you decide. How's that? No, I know it's not that, but as we look at this scripture, it was good for me. Are we better than they? Think about it. We heard a lot about missions tonight already, and are we better than they? I'm going to do a fair amount of reading this evening. I'd like to read Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through 3, verse 20, to begin with here. And I'm just going to invite you to stand for the reading of the Word. I know you just were standing, but I invite you to do that. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou judgest, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou should escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Amen. Behold, thou art called a Jew, or retest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things which are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? That thou sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which was an outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. What advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make them make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath not more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have both proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You may be seated. Kind of a lot of reading, but there's no way to get a more scriptural message than to read the word, is there? Sometimes I think we spend so much time talking about it instead of reading it. But in Romans 1, we have the theme of Romans, which is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. The last part of Romans 1, we see what deals with men's lack of righteousness. It shows the need for righteousness of God. We have seen the pagan Gentiles lack the righteousness of God. In Romans 2, we see that the self-righteous, whether Jew or Gentile, lack the righteousness of God. The last part of Luke 2, we see that the Jews lack the righteousness of God. And in Romans 3, 9 through 20, the verdict of Scripture is that all mankind lacks the righteousness of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are we better than they? I'd like for you to look in the mirror tonight as we look at God's Word. Most of us have an image of ourselves that is somewhat probably different from reality. Now maybe you folks aren't that way, I don't know. But I have a feeling, well,
Henry said tonight he's finding out that wherever he goes, people are just pretty much normal. It's just the way they are. People are people, right? We have an image that is somewhat different from reality. We may feel that maybe some of us are a little fatter than we think we are, or maybe we're thinner than we really think we are. Others believe maybe they're a little smarter than they really are. You've probably met a few of those. Or maybe some people think they're a little dumber than they really are, and you've met some of those probably. But that same self-image goes into our spiritual lives, I believe, sometimes. And we think we're maybe better than someone else. Most, if not all, people believe that they're basically good people. And if I'd asked tonight if you're a good person, I don't know if you'd raise your hand or not. We're too humble for that. But inside, we really think we're kind of good people. And we want to think that we're kind of in good shape spiritually. And I don't think that's just a situation that is true among church members, but nearly every person who exists feels that way about himself. Thinks that all is well. Maybe it's not okay. If everything is not okay, he thinks that's probably the norm. It's just the normal way that we are. Sadly, that's not the truth. These verses that we just read, if we look at that and we see who we truly are we good? Is there any good in us at all? If we look at the person in the mirror, it's nothing like we really think he is. We're nothing more than sinners in the eyes of the Lord. Paul just told his readers that the immoral as well as the moral pagans are condemned before the Lord. And he tells that the moral and the immoral Jew stand condemned as well. Then he says that all are sinners in the sight of God. Some people find that hard to understand. Understanding that truth, I think, is the first step. The first step in coming to God for salvation. When we understand who we truly are. And that's my goal tonight. Are we better than they? He said, no, in no wise. Again, seeing ourselves who we really are before God. Sin is a universal problem. Sin is a universal problem. It touches every race. Verse 9. Paul tells us that the sin problem affects both the Jew and the Gentile. Regardless of the color of your skin tonight, whether you are still a sinner. No one is exempt from the stain of sin. The white man, the black man, clear across the globe where he was talking about tonight. We're all sinners. Every one of us. In the sight of the Lord. It is a universal problem. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon what? All men. All men. For all have sinned. It touches every religion, whether Jew or Gentile, whether pagan. Paul says, are we better than they? No. No, in no wise. Whether you're a Beachy or a Pilgrim or an Amish, whatever it is, we're all sinners. We were born sinners. Some people would say, well, if you're just really sincere in what you believe,
you can be sincerely wrong. And there's many people out there today like that. They're sincere, so sincere in their religion, but they're so sincerely wrong and headed for hell. Verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The best we can produce, and Isaiah it says, is as filthy rags. But we are as all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The best we can do will never be good enough. I can never be good enough to please God. Man's problem is that we're always measuring ourselves with the wrong measuring stick. We look at our neighbors and we say, well, I'm certainly not as bad as he is. You do that. I do. I've done it. Or I look at that church over there and what they've allowed and the way they're looking and their nonconformity is going out the window and what's our tendency? We just think we're a little better than they are. Shame on us. Shame on us. Yes, I don't want to throw away my heritage and I don't want to throw away those things. But we're all sinners. Let's not measure ourselves with those measuring sticks. Let's measure ourselves with the Word of God. God's Word is a rule and guide of our life. Imagine. Don't forget that dead is still dead and lost is still lost. Doesn't matter who we are. Imagine for a moment, this is kind of a unconventional illustration maybe, but some people in Hawaii are trying to get to the mainland. And they decide, instead of going by plane or by boat, they're going to jump. And so they get all prepped for this and they take off and the one guy, he leaps out there a good 25 feet. He makes it out 25 feet or so. And the next people, they might make it 10. And some might make it just 5. And the ones out there that are 25 feet out, he can kind of look down on the ones in the back. Because he made it so far. But you know what? None of them really made it, did they? And they're all treading the same water, right? They're all in the same place. Just a little bit ahead of the other, maybe. You get the picture? Are we better than they? No. In no wise. What are we trying to do? We can try anything we want. But the fact remains that there's only one way to cure the sin problem, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. If we trust ourselves to get to heaven, we will trust ourselves right into hell. There's only one cure. Neither is there salvation, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Just a simple verse. Verse 11 through 18, we see that sin is a universal problem. It doesn't matter where in this world, everybody must deal with it. It's an ugly problem, as we can tell here by these verses. And I'd like to go down through here a little bit. We're going to look at man tonight. Man as a sinner. Man without God is guilty. Sin has tarnished our spirit. We are barred from heaven because of sin. Simply stated, we're wicked to the core. How's it say about our heart? I don't have that verse. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. I have a hard time believing that. Do you too? Do you really believe that your heart is wicked? I guess I look at man left to himself in the world that we live in, how that man has gone away from God continually, and the wickedness and the debauchery, the filth. Man's heart is wicked. And that's our heart without God. A wicked heart. Sin has tarnished our hearts, tarnished our spirit. Men may look good on the outside. You know, we all look good here tonight. We're all dressed up. We look nice. We can hide a lot of things. We can hide a lot of things. We're men. We're just normal men, I think. Be honest with your own heart. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the hypocrites, don't you? Woe unto you. Woe, hypocrites, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but are within full of dead man's bones. Let's be careful. Verse 11 says there that there is none that understandeth. Sin tarnishes, sin dulls our minds, that we can't understand. Have you ever wondered how that someone grew up in a Christian home and was taught just like you, possibly someone you know well, and they've thrown most everything out the door and are out in the world? Have you ever wondered how that happens? Right here it is. It says that there is none that understandeth. Sin dulls your understanding. Sin brings an insensitiveness to your heart. And you can't, it's like it says in one place where the preaching is foolishness to those that don't believe. And it's step by step. It happens so gradually, so easily. Sin tarnishes, sin dulls our minds to the truth of God so that we cannot understand. We just don't get it. And we see that happening all the time around us. And then the last part, there is none that seeketh after God. A man left to himself will not seek God. God draws man. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's a beautiful picture. God is out drawing all men to himself. It's still a choice of ours. God is drawing. A man left to himself will not come to God, but God gives everyone a chance. He draws all men, okay, to himself. Beautiful picture. Sin has tarnished our souls in verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. We are wayward and worthless before God. How many of you like to be worthless? We like to be of value. We want to be somebody. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Picture the lost sheep. Not only has sin dulled our minds and damaged our spirit, it has dirtied our vessel. It is worthless. unless it has been cleansed and made worthy of by the Lord. I just about can't keep from inserting some of that. It's so negative. But I just want you to get a real picture of who we are without God. Keep bringing that in your mind. Are we better than they?
We might be tempted to disagree that we're worthless. We're not worth anything. He said there's none that doeth good in that verse. We might be tempted to disagree with that statement. Surely there's a difference. Surely there's a difference. Someone who has spent many years working among the suffering and unfortunate, or a Saddam Hussein who is responsible for untold misery and suffering. Or is there a difference between the doctor who uses his education and talent to help one, to help, and one who uses his talent to perform abortions? From a human standpoint, we say, yes, there's a difference. We say, yes. However, from a heavenly standpoint, God looks at the works as they appear beside his righteousness. No good works will get them there. All the good work they do as a doctor is not going to get them to glory. They're still sinners. Yes, it has helped mankind. But beside God's righteousness, it is as filthy rags. Just like Saddam Hussein, who has committed all these things, has filthy rags as well. We like to make a difference. And in our world, there is a difference. I don't want to downplay it, but I want us to get a picture here of that. Because I think even my neighbor, who is living in adultery, who knows better, but he's such a good neighbor, he'll do anything for you, and he'll go out of the way, and I think he's trying to earn his way to heaven. It's not going to work. Man's perspective, and our perspective is, you know, they're really good people. We say they're good people, right? When they're people like that. But our perspective will not count for anything when it's time to face judgment for sin. Verse 13 and 14 talks about our speech, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and they're, I'm sorry, I missed the 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Sin has ruined our speech, and we know that by living in this world. The filthiness, the vulgar language we hear. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil. Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Your words reveal the condition of your heart. Your speech bewrayeth you. Just like Henry, we know he's from the South when he talks. His speech just gives that away. Your speech betrayeth you. It's filled with lies and deception. It exaggerates its own greatness. It flatters. It lies without remorse. It's everywhere from the White House to the church house. It is another indication that man is wicked. Man is wicked. And it's a deadly poison. Oh, so many people have been ruined by the tongue. And I'm sorry to say, it's not just out there. It happens in our churches. And it's so sad. James said that if you can tame the tongue, he says no man can tame the tongue. It's only with God. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. And I just plead with you, and especially as leaders in our congregations, it's such a deadly weapon. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not here to say we need to preach the word. But the tongue can ruin lives. It can damage testimonies and reputations. It can do more damage than a lifetime of right living can undo. Think about it. Remember, how you speak reveals the condition of your heart. The words of our Savior said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sin has tarnished our steps as well. In verse 15 it says, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery on their path in the way of peace have they not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. I don't want to meet up with a man like that. But that's our world without God. That is man without God. Man who does not fear God. Men who are quick to shed blood. Speaks of murder. We don't have to look any further. The statistics is overwhelming of murder. Since 1973, over 30 million children have been murdered legally in this country. Think about it. It's more than 10 times the total number of war dead from every war in American history, from the Revolutionary War through Operation Desert Storm. More than 10 times all those. People are growing more and more brutal. Paul says destruction and misery are in their path. They don't care. They want what they want. That is, people go through life, they're guilty of stepping on one another to have their way. Often lives are lost, are permanently damaged, but they don't care. And we think of people out there doing that. But I wonder sometimes if we do that here in our congregations as well. Are we guilty of stepping on one another? Lives are lost. I don't know. Think about it. Be careful. The way of peace have they not known. They don't care about the rights of others, and they will stop at nothing to achieve their goals and dreams. Man without God. Man left to himself. Are we better than they? What time are we supposed to close, man?
It's up to you, brother.
I just didn't ask him, sorry. Coming to verse 20, 19 and 20. We see here the law. The law, because the law of God contemns all that man is guilty of. Man stands condemned by the law. The law shows us who we are. J.P. Phillips said, it is the straightedge of the law that shows us just how crooked we are. Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. James 1 talks about a mirror, the law being a mirror, where we see ourselves, right? It can show you how dirty your face is after a hard day at work. But you don't take the mirror and use it to clean your face, right? No. It shows you what needs cleaned. That's what the law is. The law doesn't clean you. God's word does. God's word is the one that this cleans you up. The Lord cleans. The law brings us to Christ. It shows us who we really are. The law cannot clean us, but it creates a hunger in us for one who can, the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as have the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not on all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live. I like that. Well, looking at the law cannot save you. Living out the law cannot save you. The only thing that can save the sinner is coming to Jesus. Jesus. So many people are trying to good their way to God. Be good people. Simply will not work. The Bible is clear. You must be born again. You must be born again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let's now read the rest of that chapter, chapter 3, verse 21. Notice how it starts. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them, of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yea, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. And I love that ending. But now, we have all sinned, we're all sinners, but we can be justified by his grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 What a blessing, redemption through Christ. What a blessing. Are we better than they? No, in no wise. Go back to verse 1, though, of chapter 3. Paul says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? He says, much every way. Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So was there an advantage? Yes. But were they better? No. So there is an advantage. I think we have an advantage. I think I can say that. Chiefly because we have what? God's word.
But we still need God. It is only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Shall we kneel in prayer?
Lord, tonight we bow before you humbly, realizing our undoneness, our neediness, Lord, our wretchedness before you. Without you, we are nothing. It is only because of you and what you have done for us that we can have hope. Thank you so much for the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we confess that at times we've tried to do it in our own strength, in our own righteousness, in doing good, thinking we're better. Lord, may you thank you so much for again the reminder that we're no better than they. We're undone, needy creatures that need a God who knows all about us. And we thank you for that. Just pray for direction and grace and your guidance in our lives, that we can be faithful, walking with you, shining forth your word and your light as we go through this world and our time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.